we will spend these 35 minutes together that I'm going to send the New Year greeting to you in three simple steps. Three steps, all right? Listen to this. These three steps is directly from the two words. I'm going to focus on only on the two words, rejoices, rejoicing always, rejoices always, okay? So prior to our sermon, let's bow our head and ask the wisdom of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And we know that MCLCC stands for Mississauga Christ Life Community Church. And our main goal is to reflect Christ's life, is to manifest Christ's life, is to display Christ's life in Mississauga. And we realize we just start our worship in November 2017. We only be born about 3 or 4 months. We are newborn. And realize having newborn, we ask your strength. We ask your joy. We ask to rejoice together, dear Lord. So Mississauga Church will be strengthened in the name of Jesus. May you, Holy Spirit, bestow upon us, upon your servant, so that the wisdom of the Spirit of God will be empowering each and every one of us. That our worship, our service is not wasting our time. So every second it counts. The next 35 minutes we dedicate unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, listen to this. If you have to count the most frequently mentioned Christian character in the scripture, what is it? The most mentioned Christian character that is illustrated by, what is it? What is it? Hey? Rejoice? No, actually it's love. Okay? Love is the most frequently mentioned character in the scripture. But today we're not talking about love. Today we're not, because it's New Year, right? All right? So we're going to talk about rejoice. The word rejoice. Now, rejoice is actually a verb. If you notice, if you look at the Greek Bible, it's a verb describing. Now, let me give you a very good illustration describing your face, facial expression. It's describing your face. So, if you look at your face, look around, and that is, by the way, the only way. The only external way to differentiate between a Christian and a non-Christian. Now, let's say you go to a church, okay? Let's say you go to church. And you notice that most of the church, after they finish the service, they come out with a frowning face, okay? With a frowning face. Would you go to that church? If you notice that after they finish, and everyone coming out of the church, they come out with a frown. Would you go to that church? Would you? You wouldn't go to the church. Would that be? So that is actually a selling point. If you want other people love your religion, love your Christ, okay, your facial expression means a lot, means a million. I remember when I was in Japan, and most of the Japanese sales girl would say, "Arigato gozaimashita," and they give you a good smile, and that smile attracts my attention. And I went in there, I spent over 10,000 yen. It's not a lot in Canadian dollars, but anyway, I spend my money there. So if you want your Christ to be attractive, you better have that beautiful rejoice in your face. Okay, now, the second thing about rejoice, it's directly derived from the Greek word kaihira or kairo. Kairo, C-H-A-I-R-O, kairo. Now, the word kairo means full of cheer. Full of cheer. Let me repeat. The word kairo is full of cheer. So you have a cheerful mind. As the author of the proverb said, a cheerful mind is the best medicine. A crushed spirit dries up your bone. So any one of you are in the medical field? Nurse, doctor, anyone? Paramedic, none of you guys? Now, I worked in the hospital for over 30 years. I noticed that if that patient is smiling, I know that next day he will be discharged. All right? No, seriously, I'm serious. And I have a lot of cancer patients. If that smile on the face, I know that they will overcome that battle, fighting off that cancer. It's serious. I'm not joking, by the way. And there are actually four types of happy hormone in cheerfulness. The first hormone is called serotonin. Serotonin. It helps you to sleep better. All right? The second hormone, it's called endorphin. Endorphin. You know what endorphin does to you? It gives you exercise, strength. And the fourth hormone, it's called, you know what? Dopamine. Dopamine. You know what dopamine tell you? You got to set a goal, especially when you're young. You're going to set a goal. What is your goal? You're going to set your goal in your life. The last but not the least is called oxytocin. And oxytocin, you know what that does for you? Eh? And actually, it gives you love. Okay? How many of you actually like to hug your loved one on a daily basis? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you hug someone, you won't have a frowning face. You won't frown your face. You're going to smile. And I encourage you, hug at least once every day. At least once every day. Hug your love, but don't hug strangers because they're going to turn you away. They thought you were a maniac, right? You don't hug them. But remember, hugging transmit oxytocin, and that's a very, very significant as a rejoice. Kara or kahiro, it's rejoice. Actually, the other Greek term, it's called charis. Have you heard a girl's name by the word charis? Charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, charis. The word charis means favor, F-A-V-O-R, favor. Okay. Now, if you look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, okay, verse 30. And when the angel appeared in front of Mary, and the angel said, "You have found favor, you have found charis in the sight of God." Charis. And you know the response of Mary? Chapter 1, verse 47. You know what she said? "My heart magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices with my God, my Savior." That's what Mary said. "My heart magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices with my God, my Savior." So if you are a joyful person, if you rejoice, you found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, the third Greek word we're talking about here, okay, it's chara, C-H-A-R-A, chara. The word chara, it means joy, just J-O-Y. Actually, when I was in Sunday school, that was pretty long ago, you're talking about 30 years, my Sunday school teacher always taught us joy stands for Jesus, others, and yourself. You always come Jesus first, and then other, and then yourself. That's not really biblical, though. You know, that's not biblical. That's not what the joy means, okay? But anyway, it's easy to remember, okay? The antonym J-O-Y. But I want you to understand the word joy really means, okay? The word joy is actually more than in emotion, more than emotion, because the joy is equivalent to rejoice. So when Paul in Philippians chapter 4:4 said, "Rejoices always," okay, rejoices always, okay, it's more than an emotion. It's a command, okay? If you look at the tense, the Greek tense, okay, it's a command. It's a military order, all right? So failure to obey that order constitute disobedience and sin. Failure to follow that order is constitute disobedience and sins. Put it this way, if you're in the army and your boss, your superintendent telling you to sit down and you're standing up, you're in trouble. All right? So in other words, if you don't listen to that command, you're in great trouble. Now, you have to listen to this following statement. Now, this statement is extremely important. Now, I want you to follow this statement and listen very carefully, okay? There is no event, nor circumstances in a Christian life, that can diminish or take away your Christian joy. Let me repeat what I just said. There is no event nor circumstances in your Christian life that can diminish or take away your Christian joy. Does it make sense to you? And it could be a little bit hard to swallow. It could be a little surprising. But let me go a little further than that. Let me just go a little further than that. If there is an event or circumstances that diminish and take away your Christian joy, you have sinned. You have sinned. And you have sinned against God. Okay? So just contemplate for a moment. Is anything right now that diminish and take away your joy in your life? And that, I'm sorry, it's a sin, okay? So if your joy depends on the stock market, all right? You know what happened to the stock market recently, right? Your joy will be fluctuating up and down, up and down. If your joy depends on the grade point average, your GPA, okay? How many of you actually study in university right now? How many of you? Okay? How's your GPA? Is it good? Is it good? So does your joy depend? Oh, there you go. So does the joy depends on that GPA? Does it? Nah. Yeah, but anyway, it's good though, eh? So I'm going to tell you right now, it's extremely important. Okay, it's easy to be to praise God when everything goes fine. It's very easy. It's joyful. All right, you're happy. But it's extremely difficult to praise God when you get a terminal disease, chronic disease. Your girlfriend just dumped you. You fail your exam. Right, and your church is in crisis. Your church is in trouble. When your church is in trouble, when your loved one just left you, it's extremely hard to praise God. But even at that stage, it does not take away your joy. And wait a minute. What about Romans chapter 12, verse 15? The Apostle Paul said, we should rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, right? Have you ever attended a funeral? You attend a funeral, and you notice that not many people are laughing in that funeral. Is that correct? Are you going to laugh in a funeral in front of the people who just died? No, you don't do that. Now, it's very interesting in the Bible, if you look at the English Bible, if you notice that the shortest Bible verse in the English Bible. You know the shortest Bible verse is? Hey? Yeah, that's in the English Bible, right? In the Greek Bible, you know the shortest Bible verses in the Greek Bible? You know what is it? Hey? Rejoices always. Now, it's very interesting. Extremely interesting. So you can tell that in the English Bible, Jesus wept. Okay? In the Greek Bible, rejoices always. But I'm going to tell you, it's not contradictory. You can do both. You can be weeping at the same time you still maintain that joy in your heart. So when you're weeping with your loved one, it does not relieve your responsibility to be joyful. Now listen to this. When you're weeping with your loved one, it does not relieve the responsibility to be joyful. Does that make sense to you? So, in other words, when you weep with those who weep, Okay, you actually identify with the normal human emotion that you're being sympathetic, you're being empathetic. Okay, that's the external natural emotion. But the inner man in you, it is still joyful. Listen carefully. Jesus himself, when he was crucified, and that was a lot of agony. You can see that there's a lot of physical pain in him, right? But at the end, what did he say? At the very last utterance, what did he say at the end? What did Jesus say at the end? It is what? It is finished. It is finished. And you can see the joy in Jesus' mind. Okay? So, according to the scripture, you understand the definition directly from three Greek words. Number one is kairo or kairo. Number two, charis. You found favor in God. Number three, kera, the joy. Okay? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 is that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Have you ever sung that song, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength"? Ever? Anyone? The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 Okay? So the joy of the Lord gives you the strength that overcome the weeping. And you're going to ask, this is extremely important, okay? You're going to ask, wait a minute. How can God command us for a feeling, for an emotion? Isn't that emotion come naturally? Isn't that emotion supposed to come naturally? How can He command us to do something which is unnatural? And I'm going to tell you, this is extremely important. Joy is actually unnatural. It's supernatural. Okay? Joy is not a natural thing. Okay? Especially ungenerate or non-Christian. If you're not being generated by the Holy Spirit, you won't have joy. You never have joy. Because joy itself is totally unnatural. Okay? So, according to Apostle Peter, if you come across any fiery trial or tribulation, okay, don't be surprised. Count it all joy. If you come across any chronic disease, terminal disease, cardiac disease, all kinds of diseases, don't be surprised. Count it all joy. Okay? So keep that in mind. It's supernatural. That's number one. Number two, it is directly derived from the Holy Spirit. Remember Galatians chapter 5, verse 20? The fruit of the Spirit is love and then what? Joy. Okay? So the Spirit of God generate joy in you. Then you're going to ask in yourself, well, if it's supernatural and it's being spiritual, then we cannot do anything about that. God is a gift from God. So what is our part? What is our responsibility here? But unfortunately, without your cooperation, without your volition, without your willpower, without your determination, this joy never work. It never work. It's almost like, have you ever rowed a boat? Okay, ever? How many oars in a boat? How many? Usually. Hey? Two oars. So one oar, okay, is the Holy Spirit. Now, you're actually, right now, you are inside the joy of the boat that called joy, okay? All right? The right side is the Holy Spirit. That's the oar. If you keep on rowing the right side, what happened to the boat? It goes in circle. It doesn't go anywhere. All right? So Holy Spirit give you the joy. But the left side is your volition, your willpower, your determination. Okay? So if the Holy Spirit is working in you, but at the same time, your willpower that you obey with that, what happened to the boat? It go forward. It will go forward. Okay? So if just the Holy Spirit giving to you, it's just the spiritual power, but you're not abiding by the Holy Spirit, you're not cooperating. You still have that frowning face on your expression. Okay? There's no joy. Sorry. There's no joy. Okay? So the willpower, the determination, the volition is on your part. Rejoices in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Okay? So keep that in mind. That counts on almost everything from the Lord. If you don't obey, okay? There's no point. So rejoice always is not just an emotion. It's more than emotion. It's a command. It's more than a command. It's an obedience. It's more than obedience. It involves your willpower. All right? This is extremely important. Keep that in mind. Okay? So you're going to ask, well, it comes to our definition. What is the definition of Christian joy? Now, this is extremely important. I want you to listen very carefully, okay? What is the definition of Christian joy? It's actually an emotional response to the deep down confidence of the perfect control of God Himself on every single second of your life, okay, to bring goodness, benefit at present, and glory in the future. Let me recap what I just said. Okay, it's a response, it's an emotional response, okay, to the deep down confidence of the complete and perfect control of God in your life in order to bring goodness and benefit at present and to bring glory in the future. Let me say it the third time. Okay, the definition of Christian joy is an emotional response, okay, to the deep down confidence that God is in complete control of your life. Alright? That eventually will bring benefit at present right now, and bring glory in the future. Does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? So keep that in mind. It can boil down to Romans chapter 8, 28. All things work together for the benefit of those who love God. All things. You said, well, what about evil stuff? Okay? What about evil stuff? Remember Joseph, eh? In Genesis, right? Remember Joseph? And he was being sold to Egypt. He was betrayed by his brothers, right? Wasn't it evil? That's pretty evil, right? But after almost two decades or so, okay, when Joseph met his brother, you know what he said? You know what he said to his brother? You know what he said to his brother? You meant for evil, but God, using that two decades, elevate me to the position of prime minister. He was the prime minister in Egypt. And he turned evil to what? Good. So he has the power to provide food for his brother. Back then, 20-some years ago, you guys meant evil, right? Okay? But God turned evil to good. All things, every single tiny little things, work together for the good of those who love God. Make sense? Does it make sense? Now, keep that in mind. The definition of joy will actually give us the reason. Then you're going to ask, why? Why do we need to obey God? Why do I need to follow that rejoices always? Just like a little kid, okay? They keep asking why, right? Why is the winter last so long, right? Come on, it's still, honestly speaking, on Tuesdays, we're going to get 14 degrees. 14, can you imagine in February we have 14 degrees of winter? All things work together, right? I just shuffle the snow and now I don't need to shuffle the snow anymore, it's all melt, right? So keep that in mind. You have to know, I'm going to give you a couple of reasons, actually more than a couple, why that you need to follow God, okay? Number one, it's a emotional response to appreciate the character of God himself. Okay? Rejoice is an emotional response to appreciate the character of God himself. In 2 Chronicles, okay, King Solomon said, the reason I praise him, the reason I sing song, the reason I'm so joyful is for the goodness that God has shown to me. Okay? And I cannot resist to give you the reference that remember when Jesus, that's in Luke, okay, chapter, I believe it's chapter 10, and said he sent a whole bunch of disciples out to cast out demons and perform many miracles. And when these disciples come back, okay, and they're very happy. And you know what Jesus said to this disciple? You know what he said? Do not rejoice because you have the ability to cast out demons. Don't rejoice that. Don't be rejoiced when you have the ability to perform miracle. Don't rejoice that. Remember, at the end of days, that the people in the name of Jesus, I cast out demon, I perform miracle, I did many good work for God. And you know what Jesus said to him? I don't even know these people. And you should rejoice. Why should you rejoice? Because you rejoice because your name is written in the book of life in heaven. Let me repeat. You rejoice because the name of you, each and every, think about that now, your name, okay? It's written in the book of heaven, in the Lamb's book of heaven. All right? Now, remember, that was done, when did God actually put your name down? When? You know when? Do you know when God put your name down there? Do you know when? Today? Tomorrow? It's before the world was created. Now listen, wouldn't that be amazing? Let's clap hands for that. Your name was written in the book of heaven before the world was created. It's not today, it's not tomorrow, it's not yesterday. Now that's an amazing fact about the character of God. He's well prepared for you. Your name is already written. So don't be rejoicing when you have that ability to cast out demons. Don't. Of course, casting out demons is not a small little thing, by the way. But don't be rejoicing. It's because your name is written down. Okay? So the character of God. Okay? Now, it's almost like when you are dating, when you think about the character of your loved one, then you're happy. You should be joyful, right? And you say, no, after I get married, I suddenly find his character change. Now, that's different, right? But when you're dating, you always think about your lover, and then, you know what, you should be happy. So now, the second reason why you should be rejoicing, and this is extreme, it's about Jesus himself, okay? The second reason is it's an emotional response, okay, to appreciate what Jesus has done for us. It's an emotional response to appreciate what Jesus has done for us. And you're going to ask, well, what did Jesus do anyway? What did he do? Oh, that's obvious, right? Now, remember, in Luke chapter 2, especially in Christmas time, it said that the angel appeared to the shepherds, okay? And the angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you a good news of great rejoicing good news. And there will be a baby born. And he said, it's the Savior will be born in the city of David. A rejoicing great news. What is that news? Savior, salvation. So rejoice because God brings you salvation. Jesus Christ bring you the redemptive power. You're no longer living in sin. For those who are in sin, congratulations. You're no longer condemned because of Jesus Christ. I will bring you great news. Christmas time, always time. Great tiding news, okay? That's to Jesus Christ himself. Now, third thing. Holy Spirit. It's an emotional response, okay, to appreciate the ministry of Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you know that, you know where the Holy Spirit right now? Actually, he said the Holy Spirit is actually on a daily basis interceding for you and I with words cannot utter. Romans chapter 8:20, okay? With words, he's always interceding for you that you, with words that cannot be uttered. And also the Holy Spirit, if you look carefully with Romans chapter 14 verse 17, it said, okay, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. You know the Chinese always love eating and drinking, right? Right? We all love that. At the end of the even in a sermon, we go out for eating and drinking, right? Am I correct? So the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not a matter of that. The kingdom of God is a matter of the joy of the Spirit. Okay? The kingdom of God is a matter of the joy of the Spirit. Okay? And this is Romans chapter 14, verse 17. I want you to remember that. Okay? It is extremely important you realize the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not only interceding for you with words that cannot be uttered. It's also give you joy. And he's also a comforter. Okay? And the last but not the least, okay, he is the seal of the covenant with God that we are his child. We are his children. Okay? So that's the seal. It's almost like, how many of you actually carry a wedding ring on your hands? With the ring, yeah? Do you have a red? Oh, you do, eh? Now that is a seal. Okay? So no lady other than your wife can touch you. All right? No, seriously. Holy Spirit is a seal. So no other idol can touch you. It's a seal. That's something you should rejoice. When, every single time when you look at that seal, rejoice. That's a reason why you should rejoice, okay? So if you notice the Holy Spirit is the seal, it's the wedding ring, okay? Did you put on the right ring? Yeah, you did, okay? Don't put it in the wrong ring anyway. Okay, so a lot of people say, oh, I believe in Christ, but I won't get baptized. I believe in Christ. That's okay. But honestly speaking, baptism is also an external manifestation, okay, like a wedding ring, okay? I have a friend of mine, they date each other for over 20 years, but it's just chronic dating. It's called chronic dating, right? And I said, marriage is such a piece of a paper certificate. Doesn't matter. But you know what? When people notice there's no ring in that ring on that fingers, and you know what? That's not even to me. It's not a manifestation of that seal, the covenant. Okay. So the three things. Let me recap. Number one, appreciation God's character. So the joy of the Lord begins with the character of God himself, number one. Number two, they appreciate the redemptive power, the salvation of Jesus Christ, and also begins with the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, it's also the appreciation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, that is to God. What about other reasons? Of course, there's many other reasons, but I'm going to give you a very important one. You have to appreciate your church, okay? You're going to appreciate your church. And it's a response to appreciate your church. Why? Because a church is being called out by the Lord. All right? It's a fellowship. Now, when I was driving in Scarborough, I was so eager to be here in Mississauga. Do you know why I was so eager to be here in Mississauga? Do you know why? Do you know why? Because I want to see terrain. No, no, seriously, I want to see him. Because he has a very friendly face that... No, don't laugh. And I call him brother, especially my email, I call him brother. And that is a mutual relationship. We are brother and a church fellowship, okay? And that fellowship generate joy, joy. I was so eager. I was so eager that I actually go beyond the speed limit, to be honest with you. I said, oh, as a Christian, you shouldn't go beyond. But I did. I was so eager to come here. Now, if you look at Romans, okay, the Apostle Paul has never been Rome, okay? The church of Rome is not established by Paul. But Paul said, I was so eager to come to you because you are my joy. You guys are my... Have you considered the person sitting next to you is your joy? Have you considered that? Yeah, of course it's your son. But I'm talking about even the one behind you. Those are your joy. So the church itself is the fellowship of joy. So the reason why it's an emotional response to appreciate the fellowship of God. Okay, the fellowship in the church. All right? The next one. It's an emotional response to answer prayer. How many of you actually have a catalog of some kind of a notebook to write down answer prayer? How many of you have that? None? You got iPhone, iPad, everything that write down? No. Today, I give you an assignment. Go home. Start to write down on a day. This is New Year, okay? I'm going to tell you. This is resolution. Start to write down answer prayer in your notebook. Or in your iPad, or in your iPhone, your smartphone. Every single day, right? And when you count your blessing and name them one by one, you're going to enjoy that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Rejoice in the Lord. Answer prayer. There's many answer prayer in your life. I'm quite sure. I've been in a Christian life for over four decades, okay? Four decades. And I can tell you countless of answered prayers. And that rejoices me. Prayer. And remember in Philippians chapter 4, it said, okay, don't be anxious for anything. Don't have the fear, anxiety in your life. Take away all your anxiety in your life. Why? Be gentle. God is near. Okay? And make your request known to Him. Make your request known to Him in prayer. Supplication and with thanksgiving, okay? And our Lord will guard your mind with peace that beyond human understanding. Let me repeat. Don't be anxious for anything, okay? Be gentle. Our Lord is near. Present all your requests. Be known to God in prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Okay? And our Lord in Christ Jesus will guard your mind with peace that beyond human understanding. Does that make sense? Philippians chapter 4. Okay? So prayer, answer prayer. Now, the next one, the scripture, the Bible. You know, if you lost everything, let's say one day there's a fire, okay? There's a fire that burned everything that you have. But except one thing, the Bible. If you still have the Bible, you have the best commodity in your life. You can lose everything, but you still maintain that scripture in your life. Congratulations, you still have the Word of God. Okay, so the Word of God, if you notice that in Psalm chapter 1, it said, we delight in meditating the Word of God. We are like tree planting right beside stream water, and we bear fruit regularly. Okay, we delight in the Word of God. And the psalmist said, the Word of God, it's sweeter than the honeycomb that we can meditate day and night. So we rejoice in the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Rejoice. And the last but not the least, we rejoice when you preach the gospel. Now, this is extremely important. I truly believe that Mississauga Christ Life Community Church is a gospel preaching church. Am I correct? It's a gospel preaching church. Okay? So when Paul and Barnabas being sent out, they were being sent out, okay? And they come back and they gave report. And they actually, in detail, they were rejoicing about the people of Gentiles that are being converted. And they are all rejoicing with the brother and sister because there are people who actually repent. And in Luke chapter 15, remember the great the shepherd who went out to find the lost sheep. And after he found the lost sheep, you know what happened to him? He rejoiced with only one person. Only one person repented. Okay? Only one person repented. And the 99 is lost. Now remember the 10 leprosy, okay? And God, Jesus healed 10 leprosy. How many people come back and thank the Lord? How many? How many? Just one. But Jesus rejoiced with that one and he said, Your faith deliver you from the eternal damnation. It's only one belief, okay? So even one repented, you rejoice with that one. So from now on, count the number of people that repent in your church, that you should be happy, okay? Now, what about the hindrances? Is there any hindrance, something that hinder you from rejoicing? Of course, there are many. But I'm going to just give you three of them. Number one, Satan himself. Satan is like a roaming lion that searching for people to devour, that he set up all traps. And number one is he trap up forced salvation, okay? You assume that you're a Christian, but you're not. There's no, remember in Matthew, the parable of sowing seed, that some of the seed was sowed in a shallow soil, right? And these people received the word of God with happiness. But later on when trials, you know, tribulation come, chronic disease, failing exams, your love, the girlfriend just dumped you, and you say, oh, I'm not going to believe in Jesus anymore. All these terrible circumstances because forced salvation. Number one, forced salvation. If you're not a real Christian, you never have that joy. That will hinder your joy. Forced salvation. Number two, forced expectation. Okay? Jesus never promised prosperity. He never promised wealth. He never promised health. Okay? If you notice that most of the miracles that Jesus performed are on non-Christian. Non-Christian. Okay? Even Apostle Paul himself, he got what? A thorn. He got a thorn in his eyes, a thorn in his body. And he prayed how many times to God? Three times. Did God actually take away the thorn? No. God did not take away the thorn. Okay? And God said, my power make perfect in your weakness. Let me repeat. My power make perfect in your weakness. Your weakness, okay? So God, Jesus never promised prosperity, wealth, and health. But when you expect, oh, after I believe in Jesus, how come everything doesn't go well at all? How come? Then you lose your joy. You lose your joy. False expectation. So that's why we don't believe in prosperity gospel. We don't believe that. We don't believe that, okay? Number three, the world. Remember the world? The world will give you trouble. The world will promise tribulation. But Jesus said, okay, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. John chapter 14. Okay, I have overcome the world. Third, yourself. Now this is important. Yourself. Feeling. Okay? You said, I don't feel like joyful. I don't feel like joyful. You know what? You already listened to my sermon for 35 minutes. Right? 35 minutes. Do you feel tired? But you didn't go to sleep. You didn't go to sleep. Sometimes when you feel you want to go to the washroom, but you didn't go to the washroom. Why? Because you put your feeling under control. Right? I mean, I noticed that some of you feel, oh, wow, how long this sermon will last. Right? But you didn't tell out, you didn't really show it to me because you keep your feeling under control. Okay? So remember, feeling, it's extremely unreliable. extremely unwilling. It's the determination. It's your determination. So put your feeling under control. That's yourself, okay? Pride. Pride. And also, the third one, ignorance. Fourth one, prayerlessness. And also, I want to give you an extremely important example. When you put yourself too much on your feeling, you're going to be extremely dangerous. So next time, don't listen to your feeling. Talk to your feeling. Let me repeat. Don't listen to your feeling, but talk to your feeling. Same idea. Let's say you are under a diet and you see a banana split ice cream right in front of you, okay? You feel that you want to touch that banana split, right? But you talk to yourself, see, I'm still under control. I'm not going to eat that banana split, okay? So remember, a wise person, do not listen to your feeling, but talk to your feeling. Talk to him. Rejoice always, okay? So today we have gone through what rejoice is all about. The very first thing is, remember, okay, there's no event, no circumstance that can take away your joy. If there is, you have sinned against God. Number two, the definition of joy is actually an emotional response, okay, to the deep down confidence of what God is under complete control in your life. And that is for your glory and for your future. And also for goodness at the present. Number three, what is actually the reason why you should be rejoicing? Number one, appreciation of God's character. So number two, appreciation of Jesus Christ, redemption in your life. Number three, appreciation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And what are some of the hindrances? Number one, Satan himself. Number two, the world. Number two, three, your own feeling, your own pride, your own ignorance. Sometimes you're not even a real Christian. That's why Spirit is not in you. So the last but not the least, okay, I give you a character in the Old Testament, and his name is called Habakkuk. Have you heard of the prophet Habakkuk, by the way? Anyone? Okay. So now his nation, Israel, was being invaded by Babylon, which is a more wicked nation. Okay? And Habakkuk complained. He said, complain. Now remember, a rejoicing person don't complain, but he complained. That's in the first chapter. But in the last chapter, the third chapter, he said, even the fig tree does not blossom. Okay? The fig tree does not blossom. The olive bear no fruit. Okay? And there's no sheep in the pen. There's no cattle in the field. And you know what the prophet Habakkuk said? I will rejoice in my God, my Savior. That's what it said. His nation was in complete destitute, complete destroy. Nothing. You're talking about nothing that he have. But he said, even though the fig tree, okay, does not blossom, there's no olive in the olive tree, there's no grape on a vine tree, okay? There's no nothing. There's no cattle in a field. There's no sheep in a pen. I remain rejoiceful in my God and my Savior, because let me give you a very important. Your joy transcend all circumstances. Your joy transcend all circumstances. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Lord, rejoice in the Lord and always. And again, I'll say rejoice. This is the Chinese New Year greeting I'm sending to our church, Mississauga Christ Life Community Church. May you help us to manifest that Christ life. And one of the character is called joy. May you bless each and every one of us. We're going to count your blessing and name them one by one. We're going to bring more people to Christ. And in the near future, we'll see the entire auditorium filled with people, because we have that joyful face written on our expression. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.